Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
B-Pod Studios.
Felger.
I don't know, guys. Am I going to play? Am I not going to play? What am I going to do?
Mass.
Yeah, Mass, you stupid. S-T-O-O. Stupid Mass.
It's time for Felger and Mass, presented by DraftKings on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Now, after the sixth championship, things were beyond our control.
Because it would have been suicidal at that point in their careers to bring back Pippen, Steve Kerr, Rodman, Ron Harper. Their market value individually was going to be too high. They weren't going to be worth the money they were going to get in the market.
So when we realized that we were going to have to go into a rebuild, I went to Phil and said, offered him the opportunity to come back the next year. But he said, I don't want to go through a rebuild. I don't want to coach a bad team. That was the end. It just came to an end on its own. You know, had Michael been healthy and wanted to come back, I don't doubt that Krause could have rebuilt another championship team in a couple of years. But, you know, it wasn't going to happen instantly.
In 98, Krause already said at the beginning of the season, Phil can go 82-0, and he was never going to be the coach. So when Phil said it was the last dance, it was the last dance. We knew they weren't going to keep the team. Now, they could have nixed all of it at the beginning of 98. Why say that statement at the beginning of 98? If you ask all the guys who won in 98, Steve Kerr, Jeb Busler, blah, 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 we give you 1 year contract to try for seven. You think they would have signed? Yes, they would have signed. Would I sign for 1 year? Yes, I would have signed for 1 year. I've been signing 1 year contracts up to that. Would Phil done it? Yes. Now, Pip, you would have to do some convincing, but if Phil was going to be there, if Dennis was going to be there, if MJ was going to be there to win our seventh, Pip is not going to miss out on that.
All right, hi, everybody. Welcome to the program. Wednesday, May 20th, Felger and Maserati here, presented by DraftKings on 98.5 The Sports Hub, simulcast across New England and the country on NBC Sports Boston. Felger here in the A-hole chair in our Town Fair Tire Studios in Dorchester. Big Jim Murray alongside, Maz on remote. Anthony, how are you?
Good, you?
Peachy, thank you so much. I think I thought we would start off with one of the Brady topics we left on the table, or on the cutting room floor, I should rather say, yesterday, and that is something that I think a lot of fans want to draw parallels to. And that is the Patriots, Brady, and Jordan in the last dance. And, you know, did we just witness the Patriots' own last dance? And are we watching in real time what's happening with the Patriots, what happened with the Bulls 23 years ago? And are there parallels to be drawn and lessons to be gleaned and et cetera? That topic. And so that I want to ask you, Maz. We look back 23 years later on the Chicago Bulls, and you heard Michael Jordan say it there. And we can debate whether it's really true or not, but let's just say, for the sake of the argument, that they could have kept the band together one more year. They could have brought everybody back and gone for number seven and kept that thing going until it ran out of steam. So that, let's just agree that the Bulls left some room on the cord, right? Some room on the rope that they cut the cord when they still had more to give and another run or two to go on, and they cut it. Are we going to look back in 23 years on the Patriots and say the exact same thing?
So my feeling is probably not, because I think it was time to break things this thing up. But the obvious answer is it depends on how things go from here. And I don't think we're going to look at, you know, I don't think we're going to look at 2020 and say they should have kept it together for one more year. If we're second guessing anything, you know, 23 years from now or 20 years from now, I think what we're going to second guess is the way they handled it overall at the end. And now I'm going back to Garoppolo, which you knew I would.
Oh, my God.
Okay. Now you knew I would.
We didn't even get 2 minutes into the thing.
You could okay. Start, so you knew started, I would. You could have started Jesus. Hockey and he would have.
I should have started Bundesliga and Geisterspiel. Yeah. He still would have gone to Garoppolo, wouldn't he have?
Absolutely.
It would have been his absolute. Go ahead, Mass.
Are you done now?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, you're done? So what we will second guess is the way they handled it at the end. And I'm sorry. That, to me, is what I will look at. I will look at the last couple of years with Brady, and I would say, would they have been better off keeping Garoppolo? Would they have been better off trading Gronk? They mismanaged it at the end, and as a result, they had trouble becoming finding the next quarterback, and they became the Miami Dolphins. Okay, now again, that assumes that there is some sort of drought here over the next 20 years. But you know, I don't think it's a perfect apples to apples for some of the stuff we touched on yesterday, namely that in the NBA, when you have the greatest player in the league, let alone the history of the league, you keep that guy as long as he is productive and as long as he wants, generally as long as he wants to stay. So, you know, to me, there was more to milk out of Jordan. The Bulls didn't do that. But right, you know, here and now, post-2019 into 2020, I think the Patriots did the right thing.
Is it a fair comparison, Murray?
I don't think it is, and I'm with Maz mostly on this because it really comes down to this. Was Bill Belichick ever going to change and be softer and kinder to Tom Brady or whatever it is that Brady wanted in regard to a personality change from the head coach? No. And so even if he did come back, I think it would still be kind of, I mean, half-ass is not the term I'm looking for, but it would be less than it would be a less invested Tom Brady that you would have seen here the last couple of seasons. And they wouldn't have won another championship. I think you got the most out of this. I think last year is the proof of this. Because, again, going into last year, I was fully Tom over team. And it's F the future. And then last season played out, and I was like, you know what? They need to go their separate ways. And I'm glad that they did. I think that you got the most out of this in the 20 years.
Okay. To me, it's a hindsight game. And that is the reason the Bulls thing looks so bad. And it does. It does look bad. Jordan was still willing to play. They were still winning championships. If they had just buried their egos and Reinsdorf had spent some money, they would have, you know, they could have kept that together. And I, you know, this just popped in my head. Did the Bird exception exist at that time? It would have had to have, right?
I mean, oh, definitely. Was, yeah. So, yeah, it did shirt it.
So that whole thing about the market value of Kerr and, well, you had Bird rights on those guys. Like, you only use them once. Like, so, I mean, we get too deep into the weeds there, but
it was feasible.
It's not as cut and dried as Reinsdorf makes it sound. You could have kept enough pieces on that team. You certainly could have paid Pippen. And you could have had Jordan and Pippen, and that's a pretty good and Jackson could have stayed, and that's a pretty good, you know, they're still probably the favorite. So Reinsdorf is kind of full of crap. But, so that's all a long way of saying they definitely left one on the table there, at least one on the table, or some runs on the table. And what have they done in the 23 years since? That's the story. The story is what they've done in the 23 years since. That is why it's such a massive regret and such a blown opportunity for the Chicago Bulls. 23 years since, they've only won 5 playoff series. I went back and looked this up today. They've only won 5 playoff series in the 23 years since that breakup. They made one East final, and that's it. The next year, I wrote it down, and then I forgot to bring it in. Who did I tell you? So that next year, I think they went something like 13-37. It was a strike year. Mm-hmm. They only won like 13 ball games. Who was their coach? I wrote it down. I gave it to you guys. Now I can't remember who it was. Kukoc was their best player.
Was it Tim Floyd?
Tim Floyd, something like that. Their big three, quote unquote, was Kukoc, Brett Berry, and Harper. I think were the three guys left. Those were the three leading scorers on that team. And they're not, and they're still not back. They had one little mini run there.
Well, and they got a tough blow with Derrick Rose and that injury.
With Derrick Rose, for sure. And that's when they made the East Finals. That was 1 year. And so that's why it's a massive regret with the Bulls. They haven't been back. In San Francisco, do they lament the trading of Joe Montana?
No.
They had Steve Young. They remained a contender for a whole nother decade. They won another one, and they sniffed it almost every year with Steve Young.
And even with Jeff Garcia.
So, right. I mean, their run continued another 10, 12 years. Again, right, even into the Mariucci-Garcia era, they were winning divisions and going deep in the playoffs. So, no, because they rebounded. I mean, with the Celtics, do you all lament and say that, you know, they could have hung on to Russell a couple more years? No. A couple years later, you had Havlicek, you won two in the 70s, and, you know, you lament the way the Bird era ended because it took you so long. Red was, you know, past his prime, and it took you so long to get back. So you lament the way that one ended, but as long as you got something on the backside of it, it is eventually time to move on.
Yeah, as long as you still keep putting out a winning product, you know, it could be great if you win a title or two along the way. But as long as you're still relevant, then that's all that really matters.
But
Mike, it's always about the next thing. So, because in the case of the Celtics, they did the opposite. They didn't break up the team, and it cost them. So, you know, it's always about what the next chapter is. But to me, I look at it and say, let's just assume for a second that the Patriots go bad. Will we look at the decision to let Brady go as that moment where it happened?
Yeah, maybe. Absolutely.
See, I think it was before then.
Oh, of course you
That's
do.
That's what I'm telling you.
Of course you do. All roads lead back. Maz, people are going to say, if Bill can't get it together, okay? I mean, so your thing is really chapter two, right? If the lead is going to be they let Brady go and they never won again. And they're going to look back and say, Brady still wanted to play. He still had something to give, and you let him go. The last dance. And that's going to be it. Now, if you dig a little bit deeper, a guy like you will say, well, they actually had the next guy 4 years before, and the owner made him trade the next guy. But that's chapter two. But Maz immediately, my God, Murray, we could ask him about the solar eclipse.
Right.
And he'd go right there. Well, they had the next guy.
Because, Mike, that's where the mistake was made. If there is a mistake, that's where it was made. We don't know that Jarrett Stidham can play yet. So you know, when I'm talking about the next chapter, they had the next chapter lined up. If it is what you said it is, in that it's a hindsight game, well, the hindsight is, by the time they get to the end with Brady, that thing was pretty much cooked. Tom wanted out. They didn't want to bring him back. And were they, you know, so I don't look at the decision with Brady as being the point where it fell apart.
Okay, but I disagree, Maz. And believe, I'm glad Brady's gone, and you know what side of this I'm on. But it didn't, the Brady thing ran its course, but it didn't have to. It didn't have to. They could have given him the proper contract 2 years ago. They could have given Gronkowski the proper contract 2 years ago. Bill and Robert really could have had a come to Jesus meeting with Bill that says, Bill, you're going to go easy on these guys because they're getting a little high maintenance at the end, but that so be it. You are going to have to adjust to Brady and Gronkowski. And if Alex wants his own office, he gets his office. And if Alex wants to travel with the team, he travels with the team. And if Tom and Rob want to play with bands versus weights, they get to do it. They could have done all of that and made it so it doesn't run its course. They could have easily chosen that path, right?
Yeah.
And gotten one or two more runs out of the thing. They easily could have done it. And I'm glad they didn't. I think they've made the right call. But I'm telling you, I could be wrong. They could be wrong. It's all about the next thing.
Definitely.
If 23 years from now, which is what the Bulls' time frame is, 23 years from now, we can look back and see that cliff after Brady left, and they haven't sniffed a championship in 23 years, we're going to look back and go, ooh, they should have maximized it while they had it. And, you know, I'll say then, if God willing, I'm still here, I'll say I was wrong at the time because I believe they've done the right thing. But look, I am a fair, open-minded person, if nothing else, as you all know.
Oh, that's especially if Brady goes to Tampa and is successful there and they win a title.
So I think it's more, Murray, about what they do here. But, I mean, but that adds salt to the wounds, right? Like, if Brady proves he can still play, which I think we all sort of agree he can, you know, but if Brady really proves that he's, you know, that you're right, that does add spice to it. But if the Patriots win too, then okay, Brady can still play and Bill kept it going. And so,
they're both right.
Then they're both right, exactly. But so it's really about here.
Oh, it's totally, to me, it's totally about what happens here. Totally.
Okay, so I just wanted to follow up on the Brady workout yesterday, and that was one sort of angle that we didn't get to. You want to get to it? Do you think, like the Last Dance, do you think, like the late 90s Bulls, the Patriots have willfully, knowingly, intentionally left championship runs on the table? And is that the wrong play? To you at 617-779-0985, right after this. Colin Coward of Fox and Fox Sports.
Felger and Maz.
Best afternoon show in America.
Mike Felger.
Felger's a smart aleck.
Tony Maserati.
You know your baseball.
Felger and Maz.
You guys do a great show.
98.5 to Sports Hub.
Jenna, what more can you tell us about how these workouts are coming together?
Yesterday may have been the first time we heard about these workouts, but I've been told by a number of sources that they've been going on for some time. So I got to give Brady some credit for this because he's had a really hard time flying under the radar here in Tampa between the public park incident, also accidentally walking into the wrong person's house, trying to retrieve some playbook materials from offensive coordinator Byron Leftwich. They were able to keep this thing under wraps. We'll see how long it continues at the current site.
Jenna Lane, that's the Buccaneers reporter for ESPN. Everyone's still talking about that Brady workout yesterday in Tampa. We're sort of spinning it forward a little bit or backward. He clearly has more to give. Clearly, and I think he's going to have a good year. He should have a good year. He's clearly motivated. Clearly wanted to keep going. And you willfully, knowingly, intentionally let him go. Just like the Bulls willfully, knowingly, intentionally let that run come to an end. Are we going to be looking back in 23 years and say the same thing? That, you know, you left one on the table. You were a little too cavalier about the organization versus the player, etc. That's how we're leading off today's show. Your thoughts, Dave in Plymouth. Go ahead, Dave.
So, Mike, I agree with what Tony said. I think there's a cascading effect here, you know, with the Garoppolo trade. Because if they had kept Garoppolo, let's say they traded Brady after the Atlanta comeback Super Bowl, right? Let's say they had made that move and Kraft basically signed off on it. You don't have the rest of the moves, including signing Antonio Brown. You don't have the dead cap money situation that you have now. There may have been other moves that Belichick could have made 2 years ago that would set them up right now to be right there with Kansas City and Baltimore.
Okay, so, I mean, is that the first thing that's going to be said, though? Is that the first, or you're going to dig deeper and say, well, they had the guy, dot, dot, dot. And, oh, by the way, Garoppolo still has to play well. He's still got to be a Super Bowl caliber quarterback. Or
sure.
Else, you know, that argument dies too, Maz, right?
Well, okay, but I always think that there's an element here of, don't we think it would have worked with Bill and Garoppolo?
I do.
So, to me, I always love how people leave this part of it out. It's like a guy is here and it works, and then he goes somewhere else and it doesn't work, and somehow that means that it wouldn't have worked here with Bill Belichick as a coach. And I don't believe in that. If Bill's as good a coach as we think he is, and he is, then if you have a player that works with him in a certain position, why would you let that go if you can't replace the player?
Okay, like, so, I mean,
you know, anyway, go ahead.
No, it's fair. I mean, I did not mean to conflate the two. To me, it's just sort of a black and white thing. Brady was still here. He was still playing. He was still viable. He was still near the top of his game. You could have kept him. You could have kept going on another run with Tom Brady, and you let it go, and you let it break up, just like the Bulls did in 1998. Do you think they've made the same mistake? I don't, but I allow for the fact that, yikes, there is a chance we will look back in 23 years and say they did the same thing, the same idiot move the Bulls made in 98. Mike in Peabody. Hi, Mike.
Hey, guys. What a joke. I mean, honestly, I didn't care when Brady left. It is what it is. It's his prerogative for whatever reason. And hear me out on this. So he leaves after 2 years of not doing any type of, you know, like personally organized OTAs or whatever you want to call what he did in Tampa Bay. But wow, was that a gut punch yesterday. And like I said, I didn't care that he left. I watched some Tampa Bay games. I mean, the fact that we always had to hear about how Tom was trying to be the best quarterback for the team of the New England Patriots, trying to be the best father, trying to be the best teammate he could be. He sold out his teammate.
Hey, Mike, your phone's driving me freaking nuts. Hold it like a pizza. Gut punch. Yes, gut punch. Gut punch for Patriots fans to see. And you knew it was coming, right? Like a fully invested, motivated Tom Brady. And so just watching him run onto the field yesterday in the creamsicle practice jersey with the helmet and the getting the guys out there. And, you know, Rick Stroud, the reporter at the Tampa Times, who, you know, broke the story, said he heard this has been going on for weeks. And so he staked out the field till they showed up. And that's how, you know, he got the story. So it's just, you know, an indication of something we knew was going to be a re-energized, motivated, invested Tom Brady. Is a gut punch for Patriots fans who had a guy who, you know, looked like he was slowly checking out here the last couple of years. I don't blame you for being aggravated with that. I would be aggravated with that if I were the Patriots.
Oh, they should be aggravated with it. There's no question about it.
Pat in Hopkinton, your thoughts here. Go ahead, please.
So I was against you yesterday and because they won the Super Bowl after 2018, but I was so pissed last night when Brady posted a screenshot of the Jenna Leanne article commenting, "If boys will be boys, LFG." I mean, he's been playing the narrative all this time. First on the Howard Stern show a couple weeks ago, now posting this screenshot, "Boys will be boys," of the article of the workout. He wouldn't do that last year.
So I don't know what you're talking about. Can someone fill me in on this?
Yeah, I'm looking it up right now. Let me see.
Okay, so again, Jenna Lane wrote a story about this workout, and Brady retweeted it to say, "Here we go, LFG."
He put it in his Instagram story. Yep, Tom Brady holding formal workout with new Bucks teammates. There was the screenshot of Jenna Lane's story. "Boys will be boys, LFG, one day closer to football season." The emoji of with the steam coming out of the nose. I don't know why he would use that one.
Like, as aggravated as we get over Brady not doing this in New England the last couple of years, do you think he's reveling in the fact that he gets to show Bill, like,
oh, yeah, yeah,
see, this is what happens when you fully invest in me, I fully invest in you, you see?
Definitely.
It was one big middle finger, Bill. I was half-assing it because you were a dick. That's all it really was.
If it had, you know, if it hadn't been Jenna Lane there.
So true. This is Brady, what happens when you're not a dick to me, Bill.
Totally. I'm surprised he didn't pull down his pants and moon for the cameras, for crying out loud. He's absolutely reveling in it. No two ways about it.
We have got Jake in the car. Go ahead, Jake.
Hey, guys. So back to the Bulls comparison. I think it comes down to, you can't compare 2019 Tom Brady to 98 Jordan. I mean,
who's
he's
better?
Just nowhere near as dominant. I know that there's a lot more factors playing into it, but maybe he succeeds in Tampa Bay, and I eat my words, and I probably hope that he doesn't somewhere deep down, but I just don't see him succeeding. He's not as dominant as Jordan was.
Okay. I disagree. I think it's a pretty fair comp.
He won an MVP 3 seasons ago.
Yeah, to me, I mean, I think if you want to say Jordan was a little more in his prime than Brady is, fine. I mean, Jordan was what, 32 in 98?
I believe so, yeah.
He was 35.
Oh.
35, okay. So for you, 35 for an NBA player, 42 for an NFL player. I mean, it's close. I think Jordan maybe had a little more left in the tank, but for the most part, they were still one of the best in the game in the tail end of their career. I know. I think it's, you know, I think it's fairly a comp. I think it's a fair comp. And, oh, by the way, I think Jordan could have been in better shape. But by then, I think he was three cigars pregame, six-pack, 12-packs of beer with Roenick on the golf. Like, I think he had sort of let it go a little bit by the very end there, where, you know, Brady's just the opposite. But, no, I think they're roughly the same spot of their career and their same place in the league, roughly.
I mean, I looked this up a few minutes ago. In his final 3 years with the Bulls, Jordan won 2 MVPs and finished second in another one. So he was still the single best player in the league. And you know, I don't know if Brady is quite that anymore. So I think Jordan is a little bit better at the end. But, you know, I mean, it's not that far off, that's for sure.
Cameron in Miami, your thoughts?
Guys, so I think this really comes down to asset management. And I look at how Bill handled Garoppolo. Garoppolo could have turned into Darnold, Jackson, Mayfield, Deshaun Watson, or Patrick.
Again, another guy who doesn't hold it like a pizza, and you're just feeding Maz's thing.
So what's wrong with that?
Well, there's two. He's 0 for 2.
Doesn't take much. But, you can ask about the antibody study right now. And Maz
the next guy in Garoppolo.
They had Garoppolo.
Yeah.
Well, look, again, I'm sorry that this is but it is a factor in the conversation. The question is, at the end, will we look back and say the Patriots mismanaged it? And Dave in Plymouth brought up a good point, too, that if they had cut the cord earlier versus later, they might not have buried themselves with some of the cap decisions that they made and been stuck with the dead money. So I look at it in more general terms than you do. Either way, if Stidham can play and Bill gets them back to a competitive level, we won't talk about any of it. That much I agree with. It's all about what the Patriots do from here on out. But I think that if you asked Belichick and you gave Belichick some truth serum and you said, were you too early or too late on Brady? He would tell you, we were a little late. We were a little late. Because look at the predicament they're in. They've had bad drafts. They have no cap space. So they've backed themselves into this corner now where they literally have to start from scratch, but something close to it, because they mismanaged their assets in the last couple of years.
Say Murray. Okay, so Murray, you play Maz. How do you feel with this new antibody studies that they're coming up with, you know, which apparently if you have the antibodies, it means you can't get the disease again or transmit it. It seems like a pretty important development there. I think it was in South Korea. How do you feel about that?
Mike, I'm sorry to go back to this every single time. But the fact is they had the guy. They had the guy. They had the guy in Garoppolo, and they were forced to get rid of him to stick with Brady.
I was asking about the antibody studies in South Korea.
I get it, Mike. But the fact was, and I'm sorry, I have to go back to it every single time. They had the guy. They had the guy.
All roads lead back to Garoppolo. We're discussing,
I don't want to listen to you stupid people,
are the Patriots in real time experiencing the last dance and leaving championship runs on the table knowingly and willfully? Back to your calls after Murray's update.
now.
By and large, we don't remember the last segment.
Felger and Mass.
I mean, I don't remember what I said last segment.
I don't remember what I said 60 seconds ago.
Felger and Mass.
We don't remember who we are or what we said last week.
Yeah, but Felger, I'm the highlight of your show.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
We're just working our way through that comp with the Patriots here. Is this a real-time last dance? There's not perfect comparisons, and so, like, there is no perfect comparison. It's not like it because of this. It's not like it because of that. I get it. Okay, but just generally speaking, work with us. It's the apocalypse, for crying out loud. One thing that I will say holds in both cases, and it is, Maz says this all the time, and it's just so true. It just, even in the best of circumstances, it just doesn't end well. It just almost never ends well. Like, that Bulls thing, you just look back at it, and this was a filtered, you know, version of events, but all the infighting, all the drama, all the problems they had, you know, I mean, they won six freaking championships, and they all hated the guy who was the architect of it, right? They all hated the owner. They all hated the GM. The GM and the coach were at war. The star player was at war with half of his players. You got half of his players ratting him out or thinking there's this whole thing with Horace Grant now, like, still going on 23 years later. They wouldn't pay certain guys. They've got important guys holding out, you know, in important seasons, Pippen there at the end. Like, it was a big mess, and then they all walk away when they still had another run in them or two. And it's like, God, if you couldn't keep that together, the most successful basketball teams we've ever seen, I mean, that just speaks to it. And so all these things we're talking about with the Patriots, all these little mini dramas, you know, may not even be as bad, but they exist. And it's like, boy, somehow I just felt, Maz, I know I'm the Rube. I felt the Pats would be different, that they wouldn't have these kind of dramas, these kind of problems, this kind of infighting. I thought it would end here, and it would end the way it was supposed to, as the storybook, Brady finishing his career as a Patriot. And I thought they would be different, but they're not. They're just like every other high-profile dynasty that has all these problems and all this infighting. It's amazing how it works that way.
Yeah, it's just the end is always hard. It's just hard because the interests are different. Someone's going on and someone isn't, and it's a breakup. And so it just almost never ends well. And that said, I will tell you that I think the Patriots were different despite the way it ended. The fact that they were able to keep it together as long as they did made them different. So now the Bulls, oddly enough, like, I don't want to sit here and say that the Bulls, you know, made this mistake by cutting bait, because we all know that the 08 Celtics cut bait a few years later. They ripped the thing apart and they ended up in pretty good shape, all things considered. But given how the Bulls turned out, I mean, if you ask Jerry Reinsdorf now, would you rather have had Michael Jordan for a couple of more years or Jerry Krause? What would he say?
Oh, my God. But it's all because they couldn't put it back together.
And so the only thing is, in that league, I would say, what are you keeping the GM for? So now, look, if you have a great GM and you have, you know, Jerry West at his prime or someone like that, and you have the faith that you can rebuild an organization and you're in L.A. or something like that, then maybe you keep the GM. But, you know, to me in basketball, Jordan was 35. He was the MVP of the league that year. It's not like he was done. He had a couple of more years. And we'll never know because he obviously didn't come back until 3 years later.
So here's another comp by emailer Paul. Paul writes in and says, after watching the thing, I realized Jordan embraced the city of Chicago in a way that Brady never embraced New England. Jordan embraced Phil Jackson in a way that Brady never embraced Bill Belichick. It's true.
Jordan, yeah, absolutely.
So, I mean, you know, I'll just stop there. That first thing, Jordan did feel Chicago. Like,
oh,
that
yeah.
was like Jordan Chicago.
He was the embodiment of Chicago.
Does he still have a home there? Is he still involved in Chicago?
No.
Like that, you know, the scenes of him sitting in that big oceanfront place. Is that a lakefront place in Lake Forest, or is that an oceanfront place in Jupiter? You know, is he still really involved in Chicago? But either way, looking back on it, it felt like, you know, Michael Jordan was Chicago.
Apparently, he's had a 56,000-square-foot mansion in Chicago that's been on the market for 8 years, and he's been trying to sell it,
okay.
But he can't.
So there you go. But, you know, be that as it may, do you ever feel Brady was Boston? I mean,
no, not really, no.
Maybe early, the first decade, yeah. I mean, he was at the rack and out, like, you know, when he was, like, more of a real dude. Slugging beers and chasing tail. Yeah, I think he was a little bit more Boston than
like,
that.
I mean, I
this
feel
last
like,
decade, no.
See, I feel like, I mean, just, you know, name different guys. I feel Ortiz was Boston. I feel Paul Pierce was Boston. you know, I feel those guys. I mean, I don't know if you name me a Bruin who feels that way. Chara, I don't know. Maybe well, not.
Pasternak's Boston to me.
I don't know.
All the time.
I've never felt Brady embodied the city, embraced the city, represented the city, really cared about the city. I mean, I know how his wife feels. She couldn't stand the place, obviously. Couldn't wait to get the hell out of here. I mean, like, Chestnut Hill is the worst place ever. My God.
Don't ever use
this
my
place
name.
Wasn't big enough for him, if you ask me.
Never use my name with that city.
But, like, I feel like Jordan embraced everything that was Chicago, and Ortiz did that with Boston, and Pierce did that with Boston, and others have done that here with Boston. I never felt that way about Brady. I don't know. Did you?
I mean, Ortiz is the high watermark for the last two decades of success for all these teams, without question. And a lot of that was cemented with this is our effing city. Brady's winning on the field is what cemented him as not just one of the all-time greats, but, you know, in the pantheon of great Boston athletes. But in terms of, like, being ingrained in the city? No, I never really thought about that until now.
I mean,
but,
like, did you want to play that game? Ted Williams hated Boston for much of his time here, at war with the press and the fans, but he has this legacy of the Jimmy Fund and all of that. Like, he's imprinted at the Ted Williams Tunnel, etc. Like, he's Boston, whether, you know, and he didn't even really necessarily like it for some of his time, or at least the media and the fans that were around him. I don't know that about Brady. I just never felt that. And that other thing about the coach is true, too. And this is something Phil Jackson deserves credit for. And we're going to have to go back and, again, in hindsight, see whether Bill blew this or not. But Jackson cultivated the relationship with Jordan. Jordan wasn't thrilled with him when he first got there, right? Because Jackson took the ball out of his hands a little bit. What was Collins' first name? The coach.
Doug
Collins, you know, ran everything through Jordan. It was one-on-one, and when Jackson took over, it was the triangle, and Jordan had to give the ball up a little bit. Jordan didn't fully embrace him, but, you know, Jackson was able to figure it out with Jordan and figure it out with all those guys, all the other things I was just talking about, the infighting and the high-maintenance nature and the diva nature of all those guys. He could handle it. Could Bill? And this is another thing. This is another thing I think we're going to look back at and say.
When you use the word harmony when it comes to Bill Belichick, I mean, that's one of the attributes that you would apply to Phil Jackson. It's about harmony, and, like, he's a different dude. Bill Belichick is Zen master. Yeah, it's my way or go F yourself.
But, you know, Jackson got mocked for the Zen master thing. But in hindsight, I think you got to give him some credit for it, because, I mean, not only did he keep that Bulls team together, but, I mean, Shaq and Kobe. Look, I hated each other like poison.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And he kept that thing together for championships. So, I'm sorry, there's something to say for that. There's something to say for Phil Jackson and his ability to do that.
Yeah, and even if that means he was, sorry, Maz, but even if it just means that he was ultimately a babysitter, well, you needed to have that for all those egos in the room. And the way that he handled Dennis Rodman, like, you had to let Rodman have a long leash if you were going to get the best out of him. If Belichick had a Rodman type, he would have been off the team after the first, you know, first infraction or the first time he goes to Vegas.
Yeah, I mean, I think in that league, you got to let the players, you got to let the star players run it. I mean, if you're a smart coach, you will build a relationship with your star player and you let the thing just grow. And so by the end of it, we all know Jordan was saying he wasn't going to play for another coach other than Phil Jackson.
Think of that. And at the end here, Brady would play for any coach other than Bill Belichick.
Pretty much.
Think of that. There's a
yeah,
little...
pretty much. That's pretty much how it went down. But I would tell you that in their own way. I think both coaches were doing what was right for their league. Because in football, if Brady becomes this empowered diva, look what it did to the passing game last year. He wouldn't work with the young receivers. He was a complete dink about it.
So we continue the comparisons to The Last Dance and all of that. Your calls on commercial-free segment next.
Doing what they do best.
Now talk about soap opera.
Felger Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
What can you tell us, Jenna, as far as how Tom is assimilating himself with his new offense and his new teammates under these extraordinary circumstances?
Brady's only had the playbook for about 2 months now, but I've been told that he's already really taken command of this offense. He's getting the ball out very quickly. He's getting the play calls in very quickly. He's been very decisive with the football. All the types of things that you would expect from Brady, but that you want to hear at this stage in the game. Granted, receivers are catching passes against air right now, but it's still a step in the right direction, considering the present circumstances. I'm also told that a number of teammates have been really taken back by just how down to earth he is. It's not just about practicing out there. He's really making a concerted effort to get to know guys off the field.
We'll get more on Brady down in Tampa. Another thing we'll second guess in hindsight, not just, you know, did they make the right call with Brady, but the quarterback game and how Belichick post Garoppolo mess. Okay, so post Garoppolo in this day and age, in this time frame, was on the board when Lamar Jackson could have been taken, was on the board when Jordan Love could have been taken, could have had this offseason, Cam Newton, could have had this offseason, Jameis Winston, could have had this offseason, even someone like Andy Dalton. We're going to go back and look at the drafts the last couple of years and look at those quarterbacks taken mid-first round and later. You know, I'd say the Patriots were in the range to take these players and passed on them because they believed in Stidham. This is another thing that's going to, if Bill strikes out at quarterback, that's what's going to make The Last Dance seem so striking. What makes The Last Dance so striking is that the Bulls have been a zero since. Zero. It's been a nothing. They have 5 playoff victories in the 23 years since. Never sniffed a championship. 1 conference final. That 1 year at Derrick Rose, that was it. 23 years later. So that's why it's The Last Dance. They fell off a cliff and they haven't come back. They don't play The Last Dance for the San Francisco 49ers in 1991 when Joe Montana left, because they landed on their feet with the next thing. And you don't have a last dance with Bill Russell and the Celtics in 69 because you landed on your feet and had the next thing. So that's what it's about. It's about the next thing. And if Bill and they don't come up with the next thing, and especially if Brady has success in Tampa, ooh, there's a 10-part documentary waiting for The Last Dance here in New England. And then they're going to get into all the crap, all this drama that is so delicious, I do have to admit. Your thoughts, as promised. Tom and Newton. Go ahead, Tom.
Yeah, hey, guys. I mean, this situation with Brady, Mike, it reminds me of times in the last few years when you've said you're a slave to the scoreboard. I mean, all that really matters is what happens in the standings and on the field the next few seasons. I mean, if the Patriots suck and they're like 4-12 in Tampa, you know, they're down there lighting it up, then that looks good for Brady. If, on the other hand, Tampa's one of these, you know, hard-partying, undisciplined teams, Gronk's going nuts, and, you know, Bill wills the team to like 10-6, that looks good for Bill. But lastly, if I'm Bill, the thing I'd be most concerned about is he's already got a reputation of his ego costing them. You know, 2015, losing home field advantage, benching Butler in 2017. I mean, I hope he knows what he's doing this year, because it feels like he's got a lot on the line. What do you guys
think?
He's
got a lot on the line. He's got a lot on the line. Absolutely. Is he going to be the Jerry Krause figure in this? Because he didn't look very good in that special, and Jordan made it so. But that's how Krause is viewed, that egos from up top got in the way of the talent on the court and ended that dynasty. And people will do the same to Bill here, fair or not, and they won't take the time, Maz, to go back 4 years prior and say Bill had the next guy and the owner, oh, you know, overruled him. They're just going to say they still had Brady and they let him walk, and that's going to be held against him. I think they've done the right thing. I think they've done the right thing. But if they haven't, oof, it's coming. Peter in New Hampshire. Go ahead, Peter.
Hey, Mike, totally agree with the Chicago Bulls analogy. I mean, I think that's on the money. I think it points out something that I think is getting lost in the whole conversation, which is the absolutely unique, one-of-a-kind effect of a once-in-a-lifetime athlete on this whole equation. Jordan, Brady, they just don't come along very often. And I think we're going to find out this visual that you've painted of the 20 years since the Bulls had Jordan. I think that's what we're looking at. It's going to be, you know, a couple of decades of, you know, pretty sloppy, miserable stuff. And wondering the whole time why we don't have that one amazing player. And I think we got ripped off. I think we should have had him for another couple of years.
So, look, if they fall off the table and 23 years later, I haven't done squat, you're going to have players standing in front of the camera like Michael Jordan did there, saying, they had just brought us back, we would have gone for 7. I would have come back. He would have come back. I would have come back. They could have made it right for Brady and Gronkowski easily.
Yeah, it just wasn't going to happen, though, because Bill was never going to bend in terms of how he was going to approach those two, and specifically Brady more than anyone else. Well, and just real quick, too, the Bulls had the guy. He won an MVP in 2010 in Derrick Rose. He just got hurt, and it was never the same again. But Rose was a stud.
But was that a championship team? What did they do in that one conference final?
I mean, he was hurt. Didn't he get knocked out by then? I think he was hurt by the time they got to that final.
I can't even remember. I can't even. I just looked up their encyclopedia today to find out, you know, what success they've had in the 23 years. They've won 5 playoff series, made 1 conference final, and I assume that was Rose's year.
I thought he got hurt in that playoff run. Either way, I thought that they had the guy again. He was an MVP of the league. I thought he had more sack than LeBron. I think he would have pushed him a little bit in the East. But either way, I think they found a guy.
Derrick Rose was Allen Iverson. Kyrie Irving. You know, he's one of those guys, which is a great player, but not the singular guy that leads you to championships. I'm sorry, Maz, unless you think that he was.
No, I just don't think he was big enough to dominate the court at the defensive end. And so, you know, the guys that you're talking about, we're talking about these all-time, all-world players, were guys that were big enough to impact the game on both ends of the floor. And Jordan, again, you know, for all the people talk about Jordan, he was defensive player of the year. He was all NBA first defensive team, I think, 9 times. Jordan was a force on the defensive end of the floor.
Kyle in Charlton. Go ahead, Kyle.
Guys, this is nonsense. Two quick points. You can't compare the potential 99 Bulls and the 2020 Pacers that both respectively went for another run and brought people back. The Bulls had the money and the ability to bring all these people back and still remain competitive. You bring back Brady, even, and Gronk, you're not going to remain competitive. Now, Maz, to your point, you can...
Hold on. You bring back Brady and Gronkowski, you're not going to remain competitive? Did you hear what you just said? If you bring back Brady and Gronkowski, you're not going to remain competitive.
Please. Listen.
Please.
Answer that
question. Tom Brady is your quarterback. Bill Belichick's the coach. Rob Gronkowski is your tight end. You're not going to be competitive?
Please let me finish. No, you're not, because you're not going to have money to sign any other players. That you know how many people you lost this offseason? Now, you could say that's due to the mismanagement of Jimmy G, but you got 2 Super Bowls out of it, and you still have leaders on the team and $98.6 million in cap room next year. If Stidham turns out to be any good, Maz, I hope and pray to God that you're going to take back everything you're saying right now.
Okay, so.
Well, of course it all depends on Stidham. I never disagreed with that point. The question at the very beginning was, are we going to look back and look at the Patriots and say, boy, this was the last dance? And there's every chance that the answer is yes. Obviously, it's going to depend on what happens here. If Stidham can play and they become a playoff team for the next 10 years again, then we're not going to look at it that way.
But hold on. His whole premise is, if they had brought back Brady and Gronkowski and taken care of them to the point where they don't hate the coach, right? Like, this is part of the whole premise that you're not just dragging them back in indentured servitude with them being all miserable and not showing up in the offseason. No. The premise is that you've paid them, you've taken care of them, the owner has instructed the coach to go easy on them because they need it, and they're here happy and fully invested. If that's the case, Brady, Gronkowski, 2020, you are no worse than the second best team in the AFC, maybe the favorite again.
Right. Yeah. No,
what are you talking about?
If you pay him, make him happy, and you have a clause in the contract that says Bill won't be a dick, you're going to get the best out of Brady.
That's the dick clause.
Yeah.
They have those. But wait, so what are you talking about? They want to contend it. I think it is a fair comparison. Are they the favorite? Well, you know, even if Brady and Gronkowski are here and fully invested, has Kansas City passed them? Debatable. Maybe. Have some teams in the NFC pass, maybe debatable. You are one of the Super Bowl, one of the deep Super Bowl contenders. So I'm sorry. I think your whole premise is wrong. Here's Mike in Nashua on why it's not the same as The Last Dance. Yes, Mike.
Yeah, I'm agreeing, I guess, a little bit with the previous caller. I mean, the Bulls went out as champions. They fell apart off the court. The Patriots crapped out on the field last year.
I think it started off the field. I think they still had the talent to go on.
It started off the field, but... Do you honestly think if they re-signed Brady, they'd be like Super Bowl contenders?
Yes, yeah, absolutely. And when I say re-sign Brady, again, a contract that makes him happy and where he's fully invested in the team. He's the organized, the OBAs, the organized Brady activities that he's doing now down in Tampa. He's doing here with his new receivers because you've paid him, you've shown him the proper respect, which I guess was so important to him. You've been nice to him, all of this. Yes, they would be a Super Bowl contender. Absolutely. 100%. They were last year. They were 10-0, 9-0. What did they start the year?
8-0.
8-0.
Yeah.
Okay, whatever it was, they were one home win away against a horrible Miami team from having a bye, which means you're right there. You are right there, even with the crappy weapons, even with the problems on the offensive line. They were still a contender last year. Now you bring back Gronkowski and everyone's invested. What are you, nuts? Of course. They're right there. They should have been right there last year. But I think the off-field stuff, the fact that Brady had a foot out the door, sort of peed in the pool of the whole thing, and that's why it ended, in my opinion. And that's why you should be aggravated by the way last year ended. That's why you should be aggravated seeing Brady on that practice field yesterday.
Okay, so again, look, this gets into that word contender, which led us to weeks and months of arguments with the Celtics. Okay, so would I tell you, are they a contender? Yes. Yes, if Brady and Gronk are here, absolutely they're a contender. No question about it. Are they going to win it? I wouldn't bet on it. So this is part of the reason I think they did the right thing.
Okay. Are the Bruins a contender, Mass?
Right now?
Yes, right now.
Hell yeah, of course.
Okay. Just want to make sure.
They're the best record in the league.
Okay.
Mike, I'm sorry to go back to it, but yeah, they had the guy.
They had the guy.
Yeah. Yeah, but clearly imitation is the greatest form of flattery, Murray. I'll take it.
I just say that because it does feel like, and it felt this way coming out of the weekend, that the NHL is getting closer to a plan to come back. I have come to Jesus with this plan. I was against it to begin with. It really comes down to the Canadiens. But it feels like the NHL is, you know, closing in on a format to come back. A lot of people hate it. A lot of people think the Bruins are getting screwed by it. And so I just want to hit on this. Bruce Cassidy did a good interview this morning on Toucher and Rich. We want to play some of that sound. Just hit on these things and continue with your calls. We'll do it all after Murray's 90-second update. There are no commercials here.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.